Identical twins are now a part of the lineup of our grandsons, all just under the age of 3 years old. Now, early on, I could differentiate between the two boys in this case, because one had a double whorl on that's the circle spot on top of your head. But as time has gone on now, their hair is too long, and I can't tell the difference. So I have to use other strategies. And usually it's, I'll be with one of them, and I'll say, "I'm Milo." "No, I'm Milo," Milo will say back, so then I know it's Milo. Or, "I'm Jude," and Jude will do the same thing. That's helpful to me because they do know who they are. You know, the difference between all of us is usually easier to determine. And this is especially true when it involves contrasting those who serve God and those who don't. Malachi 3, verse 18, echoes what I just paraphrased, and I'd like to go there and read that. Malachi 3 and verse 18, and this is prophetic. The setting is prophetic here. It's something we can look forward to without question. Malachi 3 and verse 18, "Then you will again see how the upright man is different from the sinner, and the servant of God from him who is not." And I'm reading that in an alternate translation, a little plainer, I think. But a difference, a contrast is being drawn. This difference has been the measure of mankind since creation by God. Those who serve God, those who don't. I'd like to point out three examples of differences in some specific and then broader categories. And the first one is, and we can ask this question and answer it from the Bible, what's the difference found in Abraham? Well, I think we can go to Hebrews 11. There are many places in both the Old and the New Testament that I could have used for my purposes here. But to begin with, in Hebrews 11 and verse 8, here's the difference. Here's a contrast that is drawn. "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." Pretty dramatic. Not many people would do that, do you think? Not many people are willing to do that today in terms of following God in faith. Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19, a little bit more about Abraham here. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac, your seed shall be blessed.'" That was God's promise to Abraham, and yet then God said, "Take your son, your only son, and go where I tell you to go and sacrifice him." But verse 19, here's the key, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So outstanding is Abraham's example of faith, of confidence in God, that God would work things out according to what he had promised, that he stands out in all the annals of history of faithful men. He is the father of the faithful, in fact. What's the differences that we could find in Israel, the nation that came from Abraham? Exodus 8, verses 22 through 23 is striking. It takes place in a time of great testing in the land of Egypt. And if we read all of the story, we know that plagues came on Egypt from God. He punished Egypt severely, and for the first few plagues, the nation of Israel also, who lived in the land of Goshen, suffered. Exodus 8, verse 22. I'll get there in just a minute. And in that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people, he's making a separation here, dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the land. I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. And then one other thing we can look at is a difference, because God formed the nation of Israel. It's his creation. And because he made a commitment to them, well, we still live, those of us who may be descendants from that broad family of Israel. Deuteronomy 4, verses 7 and 8. And God's drawing this difference. He's making a point of responsibility here when he makes this statement. Deuteronomy 4 and verses 7 and 8. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? The rest of the world didn't have that same opportunity. The nations of the world of that time, like Israel did. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? Again, Moses commanding obedience from the people of Israel. So that we see that Israel was singled out as a separate nation, an example nation, as we could go deeper into the story. But a third example, what's the difference found in Christians? Another category I'd like to touch on. And we can find answers beginning in John 17 in the prayer of Jesus Christ. John 17. I'm thinking about breaking in a new Bible before the feast, and I'm thinking maybe I better not, because I can hardly turn to the one that's already got its well-worn grooves here and places. John 17, verses 14 through 17 here is a absolutely profound difference between Christians and the rest of the world. And it has to do with what Christ taught. Verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. That's the tough part of the calling, isn't it? They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them. Set them apart by your word. Your word is what? Truth. We're separated by the truth. In Revelation 3, to make it maybe honed in a little bit more, talking about those of us within the church of God, still separations are being decided upon based on various criteria and really very specific reasons. Revelation 3, verse 8 first. Christ says this to the church of Philadelphia. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word. Sound kind of familiar to what Abraham did, what Israel was commanded to do? And have not denied my name. And the consequences go on here a little bit. In verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, to not throw in the towel, to not give up, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. A difference is going to be made even within the church of God based on obedience. And one final scripture here. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. That should always be a little bit of a somber reality for us, a checkpoint in our Christian living. And continuing to read, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Iniquity is just lawlessness. It's just, quote unquote, disobedience and rejection of God. Now here, back to the twins for a moment. You and I must become twins to Jesus Christ. If God looks at the example of Jesus and then at our way of living, what would He say? Well, hopefully, what's the difference?